Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, November 25th, 2017. You are listening to a tryptophan-fueled and nostalgia-rich deep dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. And over the next 60 minutes or more, depending on how hard you guys go in the paint, we're going to be discussing the news happenings, all the fun things that could be with the world of professional wrestling. And obviously, in order to do this, you need to get in contact with us. And that will be easy. All you have to do is hit us up on the line at area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Or feel free to hit us up on email at pwtdive@gmail.com. That's pwtdive@gmail.com. So this week, in honor of the return of Starrcade to the WWE lexicon or to the existence by way of WWE into the world of wrestling, I'm going to be bringing on one of my good friends, Justin McClellan, to talk about Starrcade, what it means to him, what it means to me a little bit as a person who was kind of late to the party when it came to the NWA, and ultimately what it means to you guys. So by all means, give us a call, shoot us an email, hit one on the touchtone phone, roll it on the rotary if you can, and we'll see what we can do. Without further ado, let me bring on my co-host for this week. Justin, how's it going this week, sir?
Good, good. How are you doing, Rich?
Can't complain. I'm watching the Iron Bowl, watching Alabama basically have some issues with Auburn. I'm sure my parents are happy somewhere in Tampa about it.
Sure. Still coming down off the high of our alma mater, crushing the dreams of a previously undefeated team.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, University of Miami, they had the turnover chain, and we had to take it and make sure.
Snatch that chain, I believe.
Yeah, it's our chain now. We have the Otter, the Panther Otter, which was the god-awfulest of all the logos we've had in 15 years or so. But yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed taking my players there, and I enjoyed being live to watch that.
Oh, Kenny, I didn't realize you were there live.
Oh, yeah, I took my high school team. We were front row in the student section, so they got their heads exploded with awesomeness.
Oh,
hopefully
fun.
One
sure
of them at some point is good enough.
Now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. They went from freshmen in high school to, like, embittered seniors. It's like you call that a study date. I'll tell you about the stuff I had to see, you know, things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, you were cool enough to bring up this suggestion. We have Starrcade in North Carolina as we speak going on, basically a glorified house show in an effort to steal a little money from the WrestleCade show that's nearby. Why don't we start with what Starrcade meant for you and why you feel like it should have significance today?
Well, like you said, I was a little late to the party. I became a wrestling fan in 1987, but I didn't have cable, so I was pretty strictly WWF until the mid 90s. But reading magazines and, you know, wrestling mags at the time, and even when I started, Starrcade was sort of positioned as the WCW / NWA equivalent to WrestleMania. It was like sort of, to, at least I always read it as like the big show of the year. And as we get into the history of the show, that actually wasn't always the case. When it started, it definitely, for Jim Crockett Promotions, it was still a regional show for the most part, but it was definitely their pinnacle show of the year, being held on Thanksgiving night every year. And it was big enough that they were able to add closed circuit viewings in surrounding areas for people who couldn't get into the Greensboro Coliseum. the initial Starrcade, of course, was in 1983. There was actually, I was doing some research, there's been Thanksgiving shows in that area. That was a long tradition for Jim Crockett Promotion, so it wasn't like Starrcade was the first, but 83 is the first to have the name. Headlined, of course, by Ric Flair versus Harley Race inside a steel cage. It was billed, if you watch the show, it's billed as the first time an NWA title match had ever been in a steel cage. I have no idea if that's actually true. But actually, by the time we were watching in the mid-90s, Starrcade sort of took on a weird place. It was home to a lot of concept cards, sort of like tournaments that would run the whole show, or even wilder ideas like Battle Bowl, which I'll hope to get to in a little bit. And in some ways, it got downplayed in favor of Super Brawl and Halloween Havoc. But even at other times, though, it still maintained sort of its status as WCW's premier event. Definitely 1997, of course, is Sting versus Hogan, to blow off for the original phase of the NWO angle, and that's the highest WCW pay-per-view buy rate of all time. And so that's sort of just a brief history of Starrcade that we can dive into more, as we
appreciate you. No, that's good. I appreciate you keeping the gimmick alive, so to speak, with my show and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But before we continue, I am going to do what I do about this time every week, and that's tell the fine folks about my experience with Harry's Shave and Harry's Razor Company. So I don't shave with Harry, or I hadn't until the last few weeks, mainly because I'm a bearded homeless person for the majority of the winter months. But that doesn't mean you want to be a neckbeard. And you know neckbeards in your group, you know neckbeards in your family. You might be the neckbeard. Don't do it. I enjoy Harry's because not only do I get to maintain my lustrous beard, but I get to maintain the under part of my neck. I get to shave the areas around my beard so I don't look like the scary homeless person that people may think I am at times. And Harry's is so confident you're going to love the blades as much as I do. They're going to give you a trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/PWTorch. You just have to pay for shipping. Why Harry's? Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price. Ultimately, that's why 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy were two ordinary guys were fed up with buying overpriced razors and started Harry's to fix shaving. They bought their own German factory with over 100 years of blade making experience to ensure the highest quality, and all products are backed by 100% quality guarantee. Harry's offers their blades at half the price of the leading 5-blade razor, which, to be honest, I never really use, so saving money more than what I was already is a good thing for me. And make sure you claim your value, your free trial offer from Harry's. It's a $13 value for free when you sign up. You just cover shipping. Your set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel. Try saying that 6 times fast. A travel blade cover, and of course our gratitude for giving Harry's a try. Now, to get your free trial set, go to harry.com/PWTorch right now. That's harrys.com/PWTorch. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't say that ad read was a close shave, but of course that's a really dumb pun, and I still said it, so that's where we're at. I'm sorry, Justin. Forgive me.
Oh, no. I enjoyed the pun. As you know, I've added sideburns to my repertoire of facial hair. So, you know, definitely for me, I'm thinking of trying out Harry's to make sure I get a nice even burn on either side.
Oh, good man. Go with the Grover. Now, you know, back to Pitt, which ties into Harry's and what you just said as far as your burns. There were a number of signs that said Pickett's Charge, and trying to explain to a bunch of college kids the historic relevance of Pickett's Charge failing miserably was
the worst,
not exactly
going to
be something I wanted to say. Yeah, it was like, this is like the Super Bowl of failure. And I'm not talking about the Buffalo Bills. So that was my life. And hopefully someone go out there tries out Harry's, and later on I'll put our ad out for the Amazon, and you get to use that with Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and Lord knows what else you need to do to buy things. It's fun. always fun. So let's get to our callers. Let's have a little fun with them. But before that, let's pay the bills a little bit. And I am going to go to that ad. So when we come back, we're going to get our first call, and we're going to talk to you guys and discuss Starcade here on The Deep Dive.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive with Rich Fan and Justin McClellan. I'm Rich. Justin will be on in a second. I do want to apologize for the last few moments. My brain was discombobulated watching the Iron Bowl and watching Auburn score a touchdown. If you didn't know, my parents spent a few years as missionaries in Alabama, and so I've grown accustomed to Auburn as my number two team behind my beloved University of Pittsburgh Panthers, so War Eagle. And Justin, welcome back to The Deep Dive. Are you ready for us to start dropping some knowledge on some callers and sharing some wisdom and all that fun stuff?
Absolutely, Rich. Let's do this.
Outstanding. So let's see. We're going to go to 862. 862, why don't you state your name, where you're calling from? Welcome to The Deep Dive.
It's Kylan, Rich. How are you and Justin?
Outstanding, Kylan. Happy belated
Great,
Thanksgiving.
Kylan.
Hope all's well.
Yes, hello.
All is well, and happy belated Thanksgiving to you, Trey, and Melissa.
Thank you.
So, my first question for you fine gentlemen is, with Triple H showing a great deal more respect for history than his father-in-law has over his tenure of running WWE, specifically in the last two years, do you think there will ever come a day that we will see Starcade return to being a traditional network special / pay-per-view when Vince McMahon is finally out of the picture as far as overall day-to-day operations for WWE?
Justin, what do you think?
Well, I mean, there's a big presupposition there that Vince McMahon is not immortal, which I don't know if I can quite wrap my head around. But presuming that he doesn't outlive us all, I would say yes. I think definitely two things. Obviously, the Starcade house show tonight, even if, as noted, it's partly just to steal money away from WrestleCade, definitely – showing a bigger embrace of history than we've seen before. And so I don't see why they couldn't make it a true traditional pay-per-view. I sort of actually had wished they had just gone like the New Japan World route and just like stuck one camera on the hard side and just shown it to us tonight if we wanted to watch it. I thought that would have been fun. But I know Vince can't go half-ass on things, so he would have had to make a whole show, and probably we didn't need that. I also think if you look, I mean, they've already made Clash of Champions a show, and so I don't see why you couldn't have a Starcade in probably December as your traditional thing. It's no better or worse than what they do now. Rich, your thoughts?
I think it's something, especially with Vince out of the picture, should he actually ever get out of the picture, I could see that. Mm-hmm. I can see it as something that they would do because we're looking at NXT and they brought in War Games and did his little presto changeo on it. So I definitely could see that being an option for him, especially if they find that the tickets are doing well in the Greensboro rally, you know, the Triangle area. I mean, I think if they do well in the Carolinas, why not?
Right. Or, yeah, if they ever do, like, if they do a pay-per-view in that triangle, then, you know, why not call it Starrcade? No matter what time of year it is, and just, it would probably, you know, help with the tickets and publicity. So, yeah.
What about you, Kylan? What are your thoughts on it?
I definitely see that as a possibility. I've been one that was screaming from the mountaintop as soon as everybody heard they were bringing in the Starrcade name. Why isn't this a pay-per-view? It's ridiculous to have it be just a house show.
Yeah, I think so. Especially after, I mean, they did get a lot of internet buzz when they named it that. And so you had the attention already. Like I said, even if it was like a lesser event, you didn't have to pull out all the bells and whistles, but just people were genuinely curious about it. And, you know, why not throw that on the network?
Yeah, that would have made a lot more sense to me, I think. And who knows? You might have even sold an extra, I don't know, probably 50 to perhaps 150,000 network subscriptions if somebody were to see, oh, Starrcade is back.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think one of the best ways for it to be seen as anything other than a money grab is for them to do stuff akin to what WrestleCade does. If you had similar to the Big Four, like convention feel for a Starrcade, and you bring in the legends and you give them an opportunity to do meet and greets beforehand, and you have some historic dedication of, oh, this is a piece of the cage from Flair Harley race or something like that.
Well, that would have been cool. I mean, they've done a little bit about that. I know there's several legends appearing. I don't know, you know, to what in, you know, what capacity are they just going to be in the front row or what?
At first they said Rock and Roll Express are going to be wrestling, but then they kind of bailed on that because I think they realized that's not going to – I mean, you don't want that on your watch. Even though they wrestle all the time, like Bruce Mitchell of The Torch mentioned, they wrestle all the time in the indies. You don't – I don't know if you want to risk that, but who knows? I'm going to get a report probably in a few hours that say they wrestled.
Yep. And, of course, you have Dustin Rhodes wrestling under – as
I
Dustin
believe
Rhodes.
They're supposed to be wrestling the club tonight, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Oh,
really?
Well, thank you for that hot tip there, sir.
Yeah.
That was what was in the advertising when this was first announced. Now, like you said, they could have bailed on it because nobody's really mentioning anything about them being there, but I know that was in the original announcement.
Awesome. And when did you have anything else for us tonight, Kylan?
Yes, I do. My second question concerns the recent title win of Charlotte Flair. Are either of you surprised that Charlotte Flair did not win her latest women's championship at Starrcade, considering that the first Starrcade was the site of Ric Flair's first nationally seen world heavyweight title victory?
Well, at first I thought that was what was going to happen. Charlotte would beat Natalya. According to this, they're actually fighting in a steel cage tonight, so that's a nice piece of symmetry. But I think what ultimately played out is it was due to timing. Survivor Series was before this event, and they wanted to switch up and get a face heel match in the Battle of Women's Championships. And so to do that, they had to get the belt on Charlotte sooner rather than later. I don't know anything. That's just my theory behind it. It's also possible they just wanted to ride the wave of the publicity off the Ric Flair 30 for 30 documentary as well and put that on television. So could have been a number of things.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Justin.
That certainly makes sense. And if I have time, I have one more question for both of you.
Absolutely, Kylie.
Even though we didn't go with this portion of our format for this week, what are your best and worst Starrcade matches of all time?
Wow. I mean, I know Justin, when he suggested this to me for a show, had asked me to look at like overall shows, like best and worst. But I would say my best and worst match, I would have to put it as the Flair. The best for me is one of the best is Flair Vader from 93. I just rewatched that this morning. Just because the entire show built to it. I know it might not have been like a 5-star match, but the fact that I believe it was a young Charlotte and a young Reed were at home and sent them off like in tears because they thought Vader was going to murder their dad. And Mean Gene Okerlund is playing the serious interviewer that's like documenting this entire. So basically he's like, you want to see a dead body. And he's doing that for basically 15 minutes. And it's amazing to me. It blows my mind. And worst, I off the top of my head, I couldn't give you one.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the Flair Vader match is very beloved, and certainly, there was even a poll when they released the Starrcade DVD a few years back that ranked Flair and Vader as number one, and I would agree with that. It's the number one match. There's a lot of emotion, you know, like Rich said, behind it. The storyline is like Ric Flair's last shot. The behind-the-scenes story is amazing. It was originally supposed to be Sid beating Vader for the title, Sid Vicious or Justice or Psycho Sid. And in real life, he attacked Ric Flair's best friend, Arn Anderson, in a hotel in England and nearly stabbed him to death with safety scissors. So he was fired, and Flair, who had been brought back, but almost immediately thereafter phased down the card, as would happen to him many times, was called back into service to save the show and really the year for WCW. And they really, in a time when the promotion wasn't really doing things right, they put on just a hell of a storyline with the idea of Flair's retirement on the line and really save the day. I haven't actually seen every Starrcade, so I can't say for sure what's the worst one. I will say a top contender that I just recently watched was Bill Kazmaier and Justin Thunder Liger beating Diamond Dallas Page and Mike Graham as part of the Lethal Lottery. If people don't remember, Bill Kazmaier was the world's strongest man. He was also perhaps the world's most uncoordinated man. And we're talking a very early DDP and didn't really match up well with Liger, one of the top light heavyweights of all time, but they certainly weren't used to his style. What about you, Kylan? What's your favorite Starrcade match?
Well, I'm probably going to get in trouble for this for obvious reasons, but my pick for worst would be Hulk Hogan versus The Butcher, also known as Brutus the Barber Beefcake, from Starrcade 1994.
And no, that's a very fair.
And my pick for best would be Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes from Starrcade 1985.
What did you like about that match?
The build up until the finish.
Okay. No, I think that's an excellent choice. It's a great match. The classic son of a working man versus the snotty rich dude.
Yep.
At least I promise I won't tell Hulk if you won't.
Yeah.
When it comes to your worst match.
Well, I think he would admit it, that was a terrible match, but I still wouldn't want to get in trouble for saying it was a terrible match.
Absolutely, you need a big boot.
Awesome. Well, thanks much, Kylan, as always. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
I certainly will. You two do the same. And, Rich, I look forward to whatever my assignment is for next week's show.
Absolutely, my man. Always a pleasure. That was Kylan from New Jersey. We're going to be chatting with our next person in a minute, but... because I figure he's going to take a while. You know him quite well as well, Justin. I'm going to go to our first or our second commercial. So when we come back, we will be talking to Chris Maitland of Ohio. And that'll be a few minutes from now on the Deep Dive.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw on my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events. And then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan, joined this week by my good friend Justin McClellan, who will be with me in a moment. Just because I am a sucker for continuity, before he left, Kylan did ask what we were going to be discussing next week. And just to make sure he's on the ball, next week, a la Saturday Night Live, we're going to have a primer on Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, PWG. And it's going to be with one of the hosts of the Lucha Alive podcast. So I'm looking forward to it because PWG is one of my blind spots. I enjoy the promotion. I watch the promotion, but I don't have expertise in the promotion. And Justin, how do you feel about PWG? Do you watch it at all? Is it something that's been of particular interest?
No, I've dabbled in it much like you. It is, notoriously kind of hard to get. Not difficult, but the DVD-based product is it's harder to stay topical. So definitely something I want to get more involved with, and so sounds like a very interesting program.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm looking forward to it because not only am I going to have him, it's kind of a two shot. The Lucha Live podcast host is going to be on next week, and then in January, a friend of his is going to be my co-host on Exoticos because I've had some requests on Exoticos, how they fit in the masculine world, machismo of like Mexico, and how they're accepted, especially because so many Exoticos nowadays are out in addition to portraying the characters they do in the ring. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm hoping that that's one of the things you guys enjoy when you call in and you listen to the deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
And now, without further ado, he doesn't have any theme music because I refuse to load any clips in the audio file here, but Mr. Maitland, how are you this evening?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys? Thank you so much for the introduction. Much appreciated.
No problem. You got a commercial break. You know, I was gonna, you know, play the Seeker or something like that, but then, you know, I figured that was a step too far.
Thank you. Starrcade is really funny with Starrcade. First of all, the best match for, in my opinion, is one I've watched various times. I think one I showed you guys about 20 years ago, which is Starrcade 85, Magnum TA, Tully Blanchard, I Quit match.
Mm-hmm.
For the U.S. title. And the two worst matches, and a plug for Bruce Mitchell has been doing these PW Torch Starrcade reviews. He just did one in 87. And probably the two worst matches from a business standpoint that pretty much show the decline of Starrcade was Starrcade 87, Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson against the Road Warriors in Chicago with a dusty finish where the Road Warriors do not win the world title, tag team title. And two matches I think that really set the end of WCW, which was Hogan versus Sting, Starrcade 97 with the fast count that wasn't, and then also Starrcade 98, Goldberg versus Kevin Nash, where Goldberg's streak ended. Those two matches, I think, really put WCW in the slide to where they were being sold a few years later.
Absolutely.
Now, as Starrcade resident... go ahead, Justin.
Starrcade 87 is a pretty bad show overall, and it actually... it was the show that sunk Jim Crockett Promotions forever, because Crockett, of course, it was supposed to be his debut on pay-per-view, and he was banking on it to make bank. And Vince McMahon scheduled Survivor Series against it and put on and so basically told the cable companies they could have Starrcade or they could have Survivor Series and WrestleMania, but not both. And so nobody picked up Starrcade, and Crockett had to sell to Turner. And there's no, it was a critical disaster too, between the dusty finish. There's also a very bizarre match, between Barry Windham and, Dr. Death Steve Williams, where, Doc tries to leapfrog Barry and gets headbutted in the groin and spends several minutes rolling around on the mat, clutching his crotch while Barry looks on somewhat helplessly. So that's another contender for worst match of all time. And also was main evented by Ronnie Garvin as champ against Ric Flair, who was a commercial flop, even though I know Chris, I believe, was a Ronnie Garvin fan in the day.
I was. It's a different sort of thing with wrestling now. Like back then, people liked Ronnie Garvin, but they didn't see him as the world champion. So him winning it actually was hurtful, because back then only a few people were in that caliber. If this was now, someone of his stature, you know, upper mid-card babyface would be, they're like, well, he's a really good guy. He's been around for a long. He should get the title. Back in the 80s, people didn't see him as a world champion.
Yeah. I've often wondered if it would have, well, not often, but I've wondered if it would have worked better if he had come in as the challenger, won on the show for a quick reign, you know, lost it back maybe a month later. But that, you know, that's only from history. I wasn't watching at the time. What do you think?
Well, it's funny to outdate myself. I was 6 years old when Starrcade 87 took place, and Ronnie Garvin won the belt, I believe in September, maybe, of 87. And when he won it, or I saw on 605 that he'd won it, my first thought was, they did this because he was going to lose the belt to Ric Flair at Starrcade. Because Ric Flair had been the champion for pretty much... probably almost 2 years, maybe a year and a half. So my whole thought was that even at 6 years old, Starrcade's the big show. The Ric Flair's had the belt for so long, they're going to have him lose it and win it back at Starrcade, which is what happened.
Even at six, you had a real mind for the business.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Is Rich still with us, or are you taking a break?
Yeah.
No. I was just taking in the ambiance, cheating a little bit, watching Alabama poop the bed, and loving life. Because I always root for chaos in the playoff.
Well, exactly. For us, for Buckeyes like Chris and myself, this is, you know, this is a red letter day.
Not a Buckeye.
Oh, welcome to the.
You live 20 minutes from Columbus. 20 minutes from Columbus.
I mean, he practically.
But my money went to Pittsburgh and Albany, so I'm a Panther and a Great Dane.
Well, you could be like Russell Wilson, Panther Dane, with a side of Buckeye.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, I don't think against Ohio State. Obviously, big win for them today. But back on topic, Starcade. You guys, I just listened with you talking with Kylan, and I think the thing with Starcade is I don't think WWE actually wants to publicize it in a way that maybe we would hope. I was at the before I moved to Ohio, I still live in New York. I was at the house show in MSG where AJ Styles beat Kevin Owens for the U.S. title, which is supposed to be to tell people that anything can happen at a house show. However, I don't think WWE wants this Starcade pay-per-view to be anything more than a deterrent for people to go to WrestleCade. They don't really care for people outside of North Carolina to watch it, which is why in my opinion, some of the ideas that have been thrown out won't happen.
Yeah, I mean, that could be true as well. It did start getting a buzz, and I thought maybe that would, you know, cause them to reconsider, but it obviously hasn't.
Yeah, and that's Vince, though. I mean,
yeah,
it's an idea that wasn't his, so you kind of go with the bare minimum unless you have to do something else.
Yeah.
Which is ironic in a lot of ways, because WWE has become a nostalgia show more than maybe any era of high-level wrestling, with how much they focus on the Attitude Era over and over again. And people from the Attitude Era are pushed higher than the people who are wrestling now, even when they're pushing AARP status.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny in some regards. They have that reverence for history, so quote-unquote, but not in other regards. And not in a way that actually benefits someone current.
Right.
If you take a look on Twitter, Sean Radican of The Torch put out a tweet. One of my co-hosts on the East Coast cast put out a tweet, and it essentially was quoting Sean Radican from this week's Torch, where he said, you know, from now on, I'm not falling for your game anymore, Triple H. If I see Triple H, I know he's there to be selfish and get himself over at the expense of a storyline, and I will not watch. Because Sean's fed up, is basically what happened.
So he's basically taking the Chris Maitland position for the last 20 years?
Yes. Because at least at some point, you know, Justin and I had this debate when we were in WrestleMania weekend. I want to say not last year, the year before with Triple H. He will give you the plausible deniability loss that says, hey, he put this guy over, because I was adamant he put no one over. And Justin correctly showed me that it was Batista and or Orton that he put over at WrestleMania.
Batista. Oh, I should know. He put over Cena at WrestleMania, at a time when nobody thought he would. Later day Triple H. I mean, he's done jobs to Roman, of course, and Seth this year.
I would put asterisks on those, because those he magically ingratiated himself into the situation. It's like, I know you're feuding with this guy, but now you got to beat me. Wait, what? Why do I have to beat you? I'm confused.
And I mean, we're looking at Braun this year. It looks like we're looking at Braun Strowman this year for the same sort of spot.
Yeah. I figured. I was talking about that on Wednesday. I figured that what's going to go down with him is he's going to beat Kurt Angle at the Rumble with assistance from Jason Jordan, and that blinds Kurt to get revenge against his son, quote unquote, and opens up Triple H to go up against the Monster Among Men.
A lot of different possibilities, but I've never been a Triple H fan, as you guys both know, because we've known each other for 18 plus years, and so I feel like I could write the book on anti-Triple H, and there's a reason why I don't subscribe to the WWE Network, and Survivor Series is one of them. from this last week. But I will let you guys go. Don't want to monopolize your time. Thank you for having me on. You guys are doing a great job, and I'll finish listening later. But before I go, I just have three words for you. Hail to Pitt.
Hail to Pitt.
Hail to Pitt. Now, for the people
right,
at home that are... Oh, crap. Come on back, Maitland. I hit mute too quick.
No, it's okay. I'm saying goodbye. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
Goodbye.
So, yeah, that was fun. I agree. I think Triple H is... That actually might even be a deep dive down the road of who was the more selfish worker slash booker, Triple H or Dusty Rhodes.
That's true. Hey, a little Triple H trivia for you. Who was Triple H's one opponent at Starrcade?
Oh, my. Regal?
Close. It was Das Wunder Kid, Alex Wright.
Oh, man. Terra Ryzen versus Alex Wright, or was it Jean-Paul Levesque?
No, it was Jean-Paul Levesque. A little World War II recreation, France versus Germany.
Oh, man. Loser gets the Reinstag.
Yes, winner. Something, I don't
know. Wow, that's pretty cool. Okay, so
yeah.
He really is okay, that 94. Last remnant. I know he talks about it all the time of, you know, like, last of the war horses and all that other stuff. But
yeah,
I forget that he had that cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that would be another... I usually am not one for doing the what ifs, but that would be a big one. Like, what if he stayed in WCW?
Yeah, I mean, just a deep dive into the career of Jean-Paul Levesque would certainly be a fascinating hour.
Yeah, my goodness, yeah. Well, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to finish up, and I'm going to ask Justin a question about Starrcade and where he thinks it fits in the pantheon of wrestling pay-per-views. And so tune in. We're going to be finishing strong here on The Deep Dive.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
All right, we're back on The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I'm Rich Fan, here with my good buddy Justin McClellan. We're going to take you home, talking Starrcade, talking where it's at, where it's going, and where it could go in the future. So right before I went to break, Justin, I had mentioned the like where you would rank it. I know with JCP, I know ultimately with NWA, WCW, this was seen as something of their WrestleMania. When you think of their best moments, where would you rank it against some of the other WWE pay-per-views, since I guess they're all under their umbrella now anyway?
I would say especially the early ones are definitely ranked very high. The Chris lightly touched on the Magnum and Tully I Quit match. You know, that's another very much beloved match. Certainly one of the top moments. Obviously, as I said, their biggest WCW's biggest commercial success of all time was Starrcade, Sting versus Hogan, which they did not stick the landing at all, but it's still, you know, pretty legendary in its own right. As we faded into the distance, I think, you know, we've perhaps remember it a little better than it even was, but it was definitely for a time there, WrestleMania, and I think definitely we think, you know, it's up there. It's up there. What about you?
Yeah, I know for me, I'm selfish. I know they were bad, but I was a huge fan of the Lethal Lottery because I would see it after the fact on tape. So the Lethal Lottery was just the coolest for me as a kid because you'd see so many.
Let's talk about the Lethal Lottery, actually. I thought it was a cool idea. I thought it was a cool idea, too, but it doesn't really work, and I don't know why. I think part of the problem is it was like almost too much. Like there's only so many idea. You know, there's only so many stories you can tell with these random draws, like partner against partner, or guys who are feuding or forced to team up. And after a while, it's just sort of the same old, same old. So, like, it just doesn't, like, hold together over 3 hours. What did you think about it?
That's exactly my issue. Because for instance, like I said this morning, Melissa was subjected to watching Starrcade 93, and one of the opening mm-hmm. matches was a match between Rick Steamboat and William Regal, and they were describing the Battle Bowl and how in the Lethal Lottery they hadn't done well because they turned on each other because Steamboat couldn't stand his guts. And that's the thing. These tropes, and well, tropes are things you you just kind of – they're there for a reason. They're successful for a reason. Mm-hmm. You also have to realize the danger of inundating, kind of like what WWE does at times with Raw. If you're going to have a schoolboy distraction finish, you can't do that 5 times on a card.
Yeah. One thing I think that was WWE the biggest issue. Has sort of – I mean, they sort of started a variation of Lethal Lottery with the recent – like, you know, the Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series matches where you have, like, they've done that in a way where, you know, friends are forced to – or enemies are forced to team up in the name of a bigger cause. And those matches have – not this year's, but, like, last year's was really, really good because they could – it was only one match, and it was an hour long. But, it played into the guys' various feuds and – but it wasn't like overkill. You weren't, it wasn't too much.
Yeah. And I didn't mention this last week when we talked about Survivor Series, but I was a big fan of, in addition to the Soul Survivor, which I had, or the Ultimate Survivor Show, which mm-hmm. I had on my list, but the mixed match, I think that was 95 Survivor Series.
Yeah. The one with Sean and Ahmed Johnson and Yokozuna. No, was on the opposing team. It was, yeah, I know it's Sean and Sid. It was like Sean and Sid and Ahmed Johnson and British Bulldog, I think, against Razor, Shane Douglas, Yokozuna,
and Owen.
And somebody else. Yeah, that's a really great match too.
Yeah,
it plays with the concept, but you don't. Like I said, it's not like it was one match on the card.
Right, and that's the thing. When you have one match that does that, and the lottery maybe puts – for me, I think the lottery that trope that they never used as much was the reuniting of a team or a successful pairing.
Right, yeah.
Like, okay, for one night only, we're going to put back together, Steamboat and Flair. Like, I remember Bruce mentioning on the aforementioned Torch Chats – with Brett Whitmire, the idea of missing out on the tapes in the 70s of Flair and Steamboat wrestling together and how glorious mm-hmm. people said it was. And that would have been a good opportunity.
I agree. Yeah, I think it was not that well booked. And like I said, I just think it's too much. Also, it's just sort of random. I mean, it's purposely random, but the idea, well, you win this tag match and you get to go into Battle Royal. It's like the ideas don't really fit together all that well.
Yeah, you would hope that if they did bring something like that back, it would lead to a little bit more creativity.
Yeah.
But, when you have so much television they have to produce, my fear would be it would be the opposite, and they would just kind of stick to those tropes.
Now, another idea I always thought was a cool idea was the Iron Man Tournament, which is, sort of a miniature G1. They did in Starrcade 89. It was just four guys and four teams round robin. Like everybody, the teams and the guys were separate, but like each guy wrestled each other. And it wasn't successful. And I guess I could see problems. You have guys having to wrestle 3 times could really wear them out. And of course, 90% of your roster doesn't get to be on Starrcade. But from a viewer, I thought it was kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some of it. I haven't seen all of the Iron team. I saw some of the Iron Man matches. And like you said, if you got the wrong people, heck, if you have the right people, it still could end poorly because you're going to be in a situation where you get an injury in that first match and you're up a creek.
Well, yeah, that too. Yeah, that could be real problematic.
Excellent. So
also, it could be kind of predictable because you have to, if you know what the last match is, you can work backwards and figure out what they're going to do. But I don't know. Predictability is not the worst thing in the world in wrestling.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those half-and-half situations with wrestling where a lot of people, you know, we as fans will get pulled into the, I saw that coming and therefore I'm not excited.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also get mad when it's a situation where they surprise you for the sake of, well, you thought this was coming, so I changed it up. So, yeah, you're right. It has to be something where sometimes the classics are classics for a reason.
Right, exactly.
So
I would remiss if not mention the other major concept card, the World Cup of Wrestling from 1995, which if you WCW versus New Japan, which if they tried to replicate it today would break the internet for sure. But of course, at the time, like I didn't know like half of the guys. Like I knew Liger was in it, and I knew Muda, but like Masahiro Chono, I wasn't familiar with Koji Kanemoto, Masa Sato, and it was a tournament or not really a tournament, but like best of seven series between WCW and New Japan guys, and the winning team got possession of one of WCW's C shows, so at least it kind of had a story behind it. But I didn't watch it at the time. Now, with more knowledge of who these people were, I didn't really get into New Japan until college a few years later. But, you know, I would have been very excited for that show had it been a few years later, and I think certainly many people would be excited if they ever did a WWE versus New Japan show in, you know, 2017.
Yeah, I think nowadays so many people look at what went down with WCW and New Japan and say, hey, if you did that now, that would be, it'd be like you're cheating. So,
yeah.
And, you know, because of that very reason is why Vince wouldn't do it, which stinks, but
mm-hmm.
Alas, I understand it. It's business. He's here to make money, not make my dreams come true, despite what they say in
that
there.
John Cena Tanahashi match.
Yeah, I'll never get it. I've accepted that, Justin. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it. It's,
yeah.
Or just like we were talking about, that one magical Cena-Tanahashi tag match.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he definitely has the body dysmorphism that John probably shares with him. And for those of you who are unaware,
check,
if you look at Hiroshi Tanahashi's Twitter feed, he just did a few days ago, he did a pre-January 4 post World Tag League promo where he mentioned that he has to get this ugly body into shape because he's not ready for the January 4th show. And it's like he's mad because he doesn't have any abs at present, but it's because for Tanahashi, the abs are there. It's not like normal guys who have to suck it in when you take a picture. He couldn't participate in the Shawn Michaels Memorial ab off. And for those of you who are asking, no, Shawn Michaels isn't dead. I just like added memorial to his name.
Just his abs, apparently.
Yes. Even though he lost to Johnny Gargano, who then rescinded his ab ability at Thanksgiving dinner, claiming he lost three of them to his Thanksgiving meal.
Now that's a storyline.
Yeah. But yeah, well, Justin, I want to thank you for being on. Thank you for chatting a little bit about Starrcade, the ups and downs, the highs and lows, and all the fun stuff in between. Why don't you tell the fine folks, if you're inclined, where they can reach you, your delightful movie blog, and anything else you got going on in this crazy world that I don't know about.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at jmcclelland1, talking wrestling, CW shows, all that good stuff. My blog, which is sadly sort of dormant, but I'm trying to get fired up to get back into it. It's about Oscars and movies. It's atww.wordpress.com.
Excellent. Well, as always, a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your holiday. Best to your family, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks. Best to yours. All right.
All right. Well, guys, that was Justin. This is me. Before we get out of here, I want to give you some of the pertinence as it goes to the PW Torch VIP program. Obviously, not only am I a staff member, a contributor to the Torch, but I'm also a seven-year paid subscriber. And so if you want to get in where we're getting in, take a listen. It's been a pleasure. Talk to you next week.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip. Love.